Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
All right, we're live. Welcome to Save the Cowboy. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here in Kiowa, Colorado. If you are joining us online, welcome to you as well. Kiowa is about 30 miles southeast of Denver, about 30 miles northeast of Colorado Springs as the crow flies. It takes us 2 hours to get anywhere, and we live in God's country for sure. I just got back. Thank you for Mitch. Where are you at, Mitch? Oh, there he is. Thanks for filling in for me. Great sermon last week on being busy. Great job. Thank you. I got to go down to Possum Kingdom in Texas with my mom and my brother, who's retired now. So we got to spend a lot of time together, and just it was good for my heart to be able to spend time with my family. I took Jake and Jace, my adopted boys, down to Texas. I'm going to blow some of y'all's minds. How many of y'all were here when we adopted the boys? Jace was 6 years old when we adopted him, and he turned 16 on Thursday. How crazy is that, right? I mean, y'all watch those little kids just grow up. And so, happy birthday to Jace. And listen, I think today, I told Van whenever I was in this morning, I said, I'm a little bit nervous, and I don't get nervous very often. You can ask Cammie. I was kind of pacing this morning, and I don't usually do that, but I do that today because it's not that I'm nervous. That's not it. It's kind of an anxious excitement because I think that God's message for me today might just help you today. But before we get into that, let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are, and we come to you now, God, for one reason and one reason alone, and it's to worship and get to know you. God, you asked us, you commanded us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. And God, today that is what we do. We come and we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to live a holy life so that we can become the men and women, the cowboys and cowgirls that you have made us to be. And God, you don't want anything except prosperity in our hearts and in our lives. And God, today, you will show us how to achieve that. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think that the Bible has some amazing storylines. And I don't know where my stage is, but I'm liable just to wander out the door because I have no boundaries. Okay, so I apologize to Willie and BJ and Andy that do such a great job with our live stream if I get out of hand. But the Bible has some very powerful storylines, and a lot of times they're not what you think they are. But when you start studying the Bible, a lot of times, you know, you'll read the same stories over and over and over, and sometimes it's hard to go back and read them because you think, well, I've seen the movie. I don't need to see it again. But within every reading, you find something new. And recently, I was reading in Genesis about Abraham, and listen, if you don't know the old stories, that's fine, okay? Abraham was a man chosen by God to be the father of a bloodline people group, an ethnic people group, okay? So Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel, okay? Everything came from Abraham. And but his name wasn't always Abraham. In the beginning, his name was Abram, and he was married to a girl named Sarai, S-R-A-R, whatever. And it was Sarai. And then later, God changed his name to Abraham instead of Abram, and to Sarah instead of Sarai. Have you ever wondered why God did that? Well, I actually didn't know this, but the H that God put in Abraham's name is actually the word Yahweh is supposed to spell out the breath of God. Yahweh. That's what it's supposed to be. And so when he entered that sound into Abraham's name, it was God putting himself into Abram's life. No longer would he be Abram alone by himself. Now God would be with him, and it's Abraham. And not Sarai, but Sarah. Adding the breath, because that's the way God created us. He breathed life into us. And when he did that, and he made Abraham the father of the Jewish nation that our Messiah would come from, there's an interesting storyline, because Abraham meets God, and at some point, God tells Abraham something really crazy, and the obedience of Abraham's household, all of his servants, all of his cowboys that tended his cattle and goats, right? Everybody, God says, go home and circumcise yourself and all of your household. Can you imagine that staff meeting? Ty, get all the cowboys in here. What about the cowgirls? No, they can stay out. Just get the cowboys in here. Listen, guys, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is God has spoken to me. The bad news, guys, is this. Now, can you imagine Eleazar? Like, Eleazar, Abraham and Sarah didn't have any kids. Eleazar, their head servant, was due to inherit everything Abraham had because he had no children. Can you imagine Eleazar? And he's like, hang on just one second, boss. Hang on just one second. God said, what? He's like, sir, we was on our way just to take the cattle up from the low pastures to the high pastures because the grass is greening up. And with all due respect, none of us were expecting this today, Abraham. And boss, with all due respect, I'm going to need you to tell me exactly what God said. Okay, think about that. But here's the deal. They all did it. They all did it in obedience to the Lord. In obedience to the Lord. Listen, I wonder if Eleazar ever had the same question of obedience that we do. What if I don't, boss? What if I don't? You say that this is the way we should go, to walk in your ways. What if I don't? And that's the question today. Because God has commanded us to obey everything that he said. What if you don't? What if you don't? See, when we talk about biblical obedience, I don't think we have such a good grasp on a simple yet complex topic. Okay? What does obeying the Lord really look like? Because our first look at obedience, where does it come from? It comes from our childhood with our own parents, right? And we are taught to obey our parents. And when we obey our parents, good things happen. And when we disobey what dad told us to do, negative things happen. And that is what we are taught about obedience. Now, today's day and age is a little different than us from the mid to late 1900s. You know, I mean, discipline back then was a different thing than it kind of is today, right? But still, that's where we get our first taste of obedience. And, but the bad thing is it kind of sets a standard where we can get that wrong later in our Christian lives. Obedience usually looks like a punishment and reward system. If you do it this way, you will be rewarded. If you don't do it this way, then you will be punished for it. And reward, when it comes to obedience that we learn, there's only two outcomes, a reward or a punishment, right? But did you know that in biblical obedience, punishment and reward in that form that I was speaking about doesn't exist? There is no punishment and reward for obeying the Lord. And I know what you're saying. You're like, this flies in the face of everything I've been taught. Just please follow with me, because I'm not trying to change your mind about anything. I'm trying to change your perspective. Okay? In biblical obedience, punishment and reward does not exist. What do I mean by that? See, most people think deep down, kind of, maybe even in a primal, and if this isn't you, then don't try to put the shoe on and wear it, okay? But sometimes when we think about our lives, we subconsciously think that if we don't do something right, God is going to do what? He's going to strike us down, right? How many times, for y'all that attend church regularly, have you invited somebody and they said, I can't walk in that building, lightning would strike me? That doesn't exist, okay? Now, everything that I am fixing to talk about, you have to understand, I am only speaking to those individuals that have given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Today, I'm not talking about lost people. I'm only talking about the Christian that is saved and has a deep burning desire to follow and obey what God has commanded, okay? That's the people that I'm talking to today. So if you're not sure if you're a believer or not, please listen to this. But this isn't for you today. It will be for you when hopefully you accept Jesus Christ, okay? And there's nothing but good news waiting on you, okay? So let's talk about that. What purpose did Jesus die on the cross such a horrible death? He paid the punishment for our sins, right? Well, if he paid the punishment for our sins, then why is God going to strike us down for a sin that's already been punished? There is no punishment waiting on the Christian that doesn't obey God. There is no punishment waiting on the Christian that doesn't do what the Bible says for them to do. There's no punishment waiting, because once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. If you turn that down, you never had it. You can't lose it. If you're a child of God, you will always be a child of God. And if you hear of somebody that walks away from the faith, they never had the faith. Because once you see the goodness of God truly, you cannot turn away from it. You cannot. The good news is that God will never punish his children for not obeying him. Jesus died on the cross to take the punishment for our sins, and yours are no exception. But if there is no punishment waiting for disobedience, then why should we follow him? Why should we follow him? Well, you don't have to. You don't. You don't have to. But I want to introduce you to something that may seem a little far-fetched, but I have faith that if my simple mind can understand it, your simple mind can understand it. See, is this world ruled by God? No, it's ruled by Satan. God is sovereign over the world, but God does not rule in this world to the people. He rules in the hearts and minds of the believers. One day, after 7 years of tribulation, Jesus will come back to this earth, and then he will set himself up as ruler, because there's another ruler right now. That's why the Bible says that we are like strangers in a foreign land. We are citizens of the kingdom of God living in another kingdom. That's why this is hard. But I want to introduce you to something that I call God's economy. See, in the world's judicial system, there is reward and punishment. There is success and failures. There is laws and prison, right? There's this judicial system of the way that the world works. In the kingdom of God, there is no punishment or reward like there is on earth, okay? In the kingdom of God, there is no punishment and reward. There is, though, consequences and blessings. Consequences and blessings, not to be confused with punishment and reward. There is no punishment and reward by the world standards in the kingdom of God. What's the difference in punishment and consequences? Punishment is dealt out by somebody else. Consequences is punishment self-inflicted. Do you see the difference in consequence and punishment? A consequence is when something negative happens and it's your own fault. God is not punishing you for your stupidity. You are doing a fine job of that on your own. Okay? God is not punishing you. You know, I mean, like, listen, if your dad tells you don't pee on the electric fence, and boys, if you go pee on that electric fence, your father ain't punishing you. You are. While there is no punishment for the Christians, make no mistake about it, we are full of consequences in our everyday lives. Punishment is delivered by the actions of somebody else onto us. Consequences are when we get exactly what we deserve. When we've been told not to and something happens, the problem is that you've peed on that fence 100 times and it's never been on. But one day, you're going to get a shocking experience. And that's the problem with sin, is that sin has consequences, but a lot of time, it's not turned on yet. And so you think it's okay just to keep doing it. That's your favorite spot to pee. And eventually, it's going to get you. Okay? Didn't know there was going to be so many pickle references today. Listen, I said that there's no punishment or reward, but in your mind, you're like, but God says He will reward us. Listen, in our way, in our Western way of thinking, everything is task and success oriented, right? I mean, like our whole Western capitalistic country is I go out and I work and somebody gives me money. It's a reward for the work that we do, right? And we do these things over and over and over, but we try to take the world's economy and try to insert it into God's economy. And God's economy is, you know, 4,000 years old, and He doesn't work on the same operating system that we do. See, we do everything on earth. Think about it. Most of your life is spent in pursuit of earthly rewards. We think, if I do this, and this is the reward, if you go to work every day, you will get a paycheck. It's a cause and effect, the way we have to live our lives on earth. And there's nothing we can do about most of it. Okay? There's nothing we can do. But this world teaches us every day to strive for the rewards of this world. We got to have more cattle so that we can buy more things, so that we can buy more land, so that we can have a bigger ranch, so that we can have nicer horses, so that we can go to events and win more money with our nicer horses. And like, it's just this system that is never enough. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with any of those things. I'm just pointing out that most of our life is in pursuit of earthly rewards. And that's okay in a lot of senses. But you can't apply that economy to God's way of doing things. It doesn't work like that. At some point, listen, at some point, God is going to ask you to tear yourself away from the world and the ways it lives. And let me tell you, when that time comes, and maybe some of you are there, you just don't realize it. You've got like this burning desire to do something for God. You can feel Him working in your life. You're just not sure which way to go. You're not sure what to do. At some point, God is going to ask you to step away from the ways that this world operates. And He's going to ask that you fully follow Him. But living in a different economy is so, so different. While we do everything for the rewards we receive, God's economy doesn't work that way. You will be rewarded for the good things that you do. You will not see those rewards if you're breathing. You will only get those rewards when you get to Him. Okay, so I don't want you to think that I'm saying that there's no rewards. There is rewards. You just won't see those rewards here. How do I know that? And why do I think that this is such an important concept to get across? Because in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, in verses 19 through 21, Jesus says this, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. But the desires of our hearts are so tied to this world and its economy that at some point God is going to try to rip you. Well, He's not going to rip you away, but that's what it's going to feel like. He's asking you to step away from the world and its ways and get into His kingdom and His ways. He's going to say, step away from the pursuit of fame and fortune and go for holiness and righteousness, because those are treasures that can only be stored up in heaven. Not your house, not your horse trailer, not your land, not your cattle, not anything. You will never see the rewards of your work for God while you are alive. So quit looking for them. They are there and you will be rewarded, guaranteed. But you won't see them here on earth. You might not see the rewards, okay? You might not be able to see the rewards, but you still can receive a massive amount of blessings. What's the difference? What's the difference in a blessing and a reward? Well, rewards are what we want, okay? I mean, like, if we know that the reward to enter the ranch saddle bronc at the local rodeo is 10,000 added money, we're not going out there to get on to see if we can ride it. We're going out there to see if we can ride it and win $10,000, right? Okay, reward is what we want from God. God, if you can just help me score this touchdown, if you can just help me make this loop, you know, blah, blah, blah. We're always looking for the rewards. A reward is what we want. A reward provides something that we want. A blessing provides what we need. And remember, Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. And in Psalms, David, God says through David, that I will give you the desires of your heart. But He tells us where our heart should be and where your treasure is. And He says to put it in heaven, there the desires of your heart will also be. So the desires of your heart will be on heavenly things. And God will bless you and give you those things because they are what you need. God never says He'll give you everything you want. Listen, the hard trail that Jesus asked us to follow, that narrow hard trail that He said many look for but few find, and even few are able to walk in it, right? But He said that the other road is not narrow and hard. It's wide and easy, but that road leads to destruction, right? When you follow that narrow, hard trail, it is a narrow, hard trail, but it is surrounded by rich, fertile fields, clean water, and safe harbor from the storms. That narrow trail is surrounded by rich, fertile fields that you can grow in, clean water that will cleanse you, and safe harbor from the trials and tribulations of life. That is what surrounds the narrow trail, okay? When we obey the Lord and walk that hard, narrow trail, when we obey the Lord, He blesses us with all we need, not necessarily what we want. Blessings don't take the material form as much or as often as they take the form of peace in our heart. How about wisdom in our understanding, steadfastness through trials and tribulation, faithfulness in times of pain and sorrow, and blessings can even come in the form of opportunities to serve others. See, those are blessings. Those are the things that will allow you to store treasures up in heaven, not get what you want on earth. That's the world's economy. God asks us to move to His economy. A blessing can also sometimes be the loss of something or someone that is holding you back. Listen, when somebody comes up and tells me, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I want to grab them and just hug them. Because if they truly are, one day they're going to be asked to step away from the world and into the kingdom. And that is one of the most difficult things that a person can ever do, is to tear themselves away from the training of the way the world operates and start operating under a new operating system, under a new economy. And we do that by obeying the Lord, doing what He says the way He says to do it. Listen, blessings don't often come in the form of what we want, but they always come in the form of what exactly we need. But there are consequences, not punishments, for going down the easy road. See, that easy road, there's no fertile ground. You'll never grow over there. You can exist over there. You can be saved and be over there. But you will never, ever, ever grow. And I cannot tell you how many years as a Christian I have spent my life on the easy road trying to follow God on the easy road. It can't happen that way. You have to go down the hard, narrow trail. And when I say it's hard, this is the example. And there's probably only a few guys in here that really know what I'm talking about. But have you ever had that horse that would just buck you off and hurt you when he did it? I'm not talking about being, you know, mean. I'm just talking about buck that hard. He'd hit you 14 times with the saddle, 3 times with the saddle horn, and kick you on the way down, right? And then somebody comes out and says, I want to ride that horse. They say, that horse will buck you off hard. Oh, I've been bucked off hard. I can handle it. And they go get on it, and they just get pile-drived. And then they come back, and they say, you didn't tell me it was going to be hard. Did you think I meant an easy hard? Like, he's hard for somebody who knows what they're doing. It's impossible for somebody that don't. It's hard. It is hard. And I want to just hug people and tell them, I know, but it's worth it. You've got to tear yourself away from that. There is no fertile ground on the easy road in which to plant or raise your family or do anything you want to accomplish. It will never get you there. It might get you some earthly rewards. Sure, you can maybe make $50 million, but you're not going to grow. You're just going to have a lot of money. Some people are so poor, all they have is money, right? There is no water to cleanse you. It's all polluted. You'll never take a drink and get a net gain. It's always a net loss. Even the air you breathe on the easy road is toxic because it's just filled with the ways of the world. And the only solution to that is the hard, narrow trail. And you walk it through obedience to God. But listen, it's a reward obedience. I'll get to that in a minute. But the question still remains, how do we learn to walk in obedience if we don't know what we're supposed to do, right? How can we fulfill the task that we don't know the task? Because there is no task. There's just a walk with God. There is no successes or failures. There's just a walk with God. There is no great reward for doing a task that you're going to be showered with over here. Your reward waits in heaven, but the blessing is here for now. And a lot of times that blessing isn't in the form of what we think we want, but it is in the form of what we need. Listen. The question remains, how do we learn to walk in obedience? Let me try to put it simply. Go make a hand. Go make a hand. I don't know how to say it any more cowboy or simply than that. There is no simpler skill to understand than making a hand. And there's no skill harder to master than just making a hand. When nobody tells you what to do, when nobody tells you where to go, what are you going to do? I heard an excellent illustration the other day. And it said that we are made in the image of God. Just like a glove is made in the image of a hand. And while the glove alone has value, it doesn't have purpose until we fill that glove with God and we become God's hands. And then we go use those hands in whatever way you choose to. That's just it. God says to obey Him. You want to know what He said? Okay, go tell people about me. And everybody's like, but what are we supposed to do? And He's like, go tell people about me. Yeah, but what are we supposed to do? I don't care what you do. Just whatever you're doing, let God's light shine through you and open your mouth if you have to. Because here's the deal. God doesn't often tell us what to do. He just wants us to go make a hand. He doesn't care what we do. He cares who we are while we do it. But what if I mess up and I don't succeed? What if I do something wrong and I mess it up? You think you're that powerful? That little old you can go mess up God's great big plan. I mean, like, I mean this with all the love in my fart. I mean this with all the love in my fart. Who do you think you are? I mean, do you really think that you are that important that little old you can go mess up God's great big plan? See, we're still working in that economy of, do I get it right or do I get it wrong? Jesus says, just go do it. Just go do it. Learn to follow me, not a list. Yeah, exactly. Remember, success as we see it doesn't even exist in God's economy. Let me tell y'all what. The smallest thing you do by following Jesus is the same in God's economy as what I do. Because every single one of us are just using the gifts that God has given us to spread the message of Jesus Christ. Nobody is more important than the other, okay? I get to be the mouth, okay? We've got other people that are hands. We've got other people that are the brains. That's not me, right? Listen, God has given you a vision, and it's no different than my vision. And you don't know what you're doing. And I used to tell Ty and others that I don't know what I'm doing with Save the Cowboy, but that's not a very accurate description of it. Here's a better way of saying it. I have been given a vision, but I don't always see the next steps clearly, but I know the direction that God has me going. And I don't worry about successes or failures because I can't fail in God as long as I can stumble and fall. That's nothing to be ashamed of. It's how you learn. You get up and you keep going down that hard, narrow trail. The truth of the matter is that the way the world looks at Christianity, even Christians looking through the world's economy, says, well, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes. You've said it. I've said it. You've heard it. Everybody's heard it, right? Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But as a theological argument, that leads to more excuses than holiness. Well, nobody's perfect. Listen, let's change that mindset of nobody's perfect to a grace mindset in God's economy. And here it is. You get a brand new chance every single day to be who God called you to be. Yesterday doesn't matter. Tomorrow doesn't matter. Today, you have been given a brand new chance to start walking in the ways of God and walking in the blessings that rain down while you're walking. You don't get blessed for over here on the easy road, but you will be blessed for walking that narrow, hard trail, right? Listen, our purpose, every one of our purposes in here today is to worship God. And we do that in two ways as followers of Christ. By walking in the ways that God says, the way He says to do it, okay? That's one way. And the other way we worship God is by serving others, not ourselves, with a glad heart. We worship God by serving others through your gifts with a glad heart. Let me leave you with one more verse. Jeremiah 6:16. Listen to this closely. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Is that the road that you want? To walk in the old godly ways. And listen, I know your problems. I know why it's so hard to walk that narrow trail. You're going to think I'm a prophet when I say this. You know what most of your problems stem from? The same problem everybody else has. People. Right? That's what makes it hard is people. And that's who we're called to serve, is people. Jesus says, the thing you do for the least of my children, you do for me. And that's the way we worship. I would like to leave you with a prayer on biblical obedience. It'll be a little different than what you've normally heard, but I hope that you can see the beauty in it. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father who lives in heaven, holy is your name. God, I ask that your kingdom will come and that your will be done by us on earth as it is in heaven. God, bless us this day with all we need and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. God, do not lead us down any road that takes us away from you, and keep us from all evil. For God, only in you is the power, only in you is the glory, and only in you is the forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.